Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Before we head into our notes, let me just show you a couple things. On the back part of your notes, I just noticed from the front that we did not get email to send questions to in case you don't have texting. On the very back towards the bottom, you'll see my assistants, Celianne. You'll see her email. You can send questions there. You'll see my email about halfway up and send questions you might have about the Holy Spirit, something we're teaching on tonight, a question you might have. You can send it to those addresses. Tonight we're going to cover a lot of material, probably fairly quickly, on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to write it all down. On our website, where we post our podcasts and all this series on Wednesday nights as well as the weekends, you can download podcasts for free. When this gets put up in about a week, we're going to have a PDF file that's going to have all the notes that we're teaching off of tonight, plus additional content that we're not able to cover tonight. So just, you know, maybe write down a couple things that maybe really hit you, but don't feel like you got to get it all down. It's all going to be up there for you, free of charge, easy to get, PDF format. So take advantage of that. But let's go ahead and dive in. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's an important aspect of who the Holy Spirit is. And when we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first question that I think is crucial is, are you hungry? Are you spiritually hungry? Because when we're talking about the Spirit, any parts of the gifts of the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, signs, wonders, miracles, sometimes there's more questions than there are answers until, as Jeff was talking about this weekend, you begin to dive into the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't understand the gospel very well. Anybody else along those same lines? I didn't have Jesus all figured out when I said, Jesus, I'll give you 6 months. So that was good of me. I said, Jesus, I'll give you 6 months, and you get 6 months to kind of show me who you are. Now, obviously, I'm still here. But I didn't have it all figured out. All I knew was, my life was empty. I walked into this church. There was like reality, God reality going on. And I said, I'm going to give this a try for 6 months. And I want to encourage you the same thing with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, living with a greater knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You can be saved, but still not really have a vital relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so if you're wondering, well, I don't have it all figured out yet, you're never going to. It's God. So let me say that again. It's God. And you're not going to figure him out. But it's in the Bible, so you can relax and trust. Some of the scriptures we've looked at a couple weeks ago. We looked at this on Wednesday night. Pastor George also hit it on the weekend service. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The Living Bible translates in a way that I think brings out what David is saying. He says, the one thing I want from God, the thing I seek most of all, is the privilege of meditating in his temple, living in his presence every day of my life, delighting in his incomparable perfections and glory. The only way we live in God's presence is through the Holy Spirit. Now, I've already mentioned, and Blake covered some of this last week, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Now, we could spend an entire night talking about just the Trinity, just this point. We're not really able to, but in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So there are three persons in the Holy Spirit. They're all persons. They're all equal, but yet they make up one Godhead. And then I like this quote, "The Holy Spirit has all the qualities of personality. He wills, purposes, loves, grieves, thinks, feels, leads, appoints, guides, and teaches. He is not merely an influence. He is not an attribute of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity." Now, the Holy Spirit is also our helper. And he's been sent to help us to be here. Jesus said it this way in John 16. He said, "But now I go away to him," speaking of the Father, "to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage." And Blake brought some of this out last week with the one and only. How can it be an advantage for Jesus? He's right there. I can touch him. I can ask him questions. When a kid needs a demon cast out and we prayed for him and nothing happens, no problem. There's Jesus. We call him over. He can take care of it all. Well, how could it be an advantage that Jesus goes away? Jesus says, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." Everybody say, me. The Helper, the reason the Holy Spirit is in our lives is because Jesus died on the cross, he's resurrected, and he's glorified. "But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's important that we all understand clearly that when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. In John 20, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let me make this very clear. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Now, you may not be aware of it. As I'm speaking, you might say, "Well, I didn't even know that that happened. When did it happen?" As soon as you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. You don't have to ask for it. It is just automatic. It's what makes you born again, is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So when we start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is an additional gift, it's something separate from salvation. It's a gift that God gives beyond that indwelling Holy Spirit. It's important that we understand that there are no second-class citizens. Whether or not you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you don't, you still have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you aren't any better if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you aren't a worse Christian if you don't. Now, there's great advantages to it. We might look at some of those in a couple weeks from now, but it doesn't make you better or worse. As a matter of fact, in the epistle to the Corinthian church, he says, "You know what, you Corinthians? When it comes to gifts, you are second to nobody. You're like the gifts church. But you know what? You're carnal. You're babes." So it's possible to have all the gifts and still be carnal, still be a baby in Christ. But yet, that doesn't mean that we throw out the gifts just because some people have the gifts and either misuse them or don't mature through them. Now, there's three kinds of tongues mentioned in the Bible. And this is also in the PDF that we're going to have for you on our website. The first one happened in Acts chapter 2. And when Carl comes, he's going to talk a lot more about that. But the Holy Spirit fell, the original 120, they were speaking in tongues, and other people heard them speaking in their own language. It doesn't say the 120 were speaking in their language, they heard them. And there's details there we don't have time to go into, but basically, that was a one-time event. Now, it's happened periodically to individuals through history where someone might get a tongue, they start to speak, and they find out that they're speaking in Japanese. There's a Japanese person in the audience who didn't know Christ, and they're going, "Whoa, how'd you know my language?" But as far as a mass kind of event like this, one-time event. The second kind of tongues is talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says, "Does anyone interpret?" There is a gift of speaking in an unknown language out loud in a church service like this, and then either that person or somebody else interprets that tongue and gives a and interprets the prophecy into English. That's not real common. In fact, in the church I was born again in, which we had lots of gifts of the Spirit, I never saw it till I came here. And one of the pastors on staff, he had that gift. So he would, in a service, speak out in tongues. I was always like scared to death, like, oh, you got to be kidding. I sure hope somebody interprets this. But there always was someone there who would interpret the tongue. That's the second type of tongues. We're not covering that tonight, but just so you're aware that does exist. Then the third type of tongue is the kind of tongue that is available to every believer, and that is the private prayer language, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So Carl Rogers, why don't you come on up here? Carl and his wife Lonnie are the founders of our healing room here. Now they've turned that over, and they're moving in apostolic ministry with Joshua Nations, but would you give Carl a big hand as he comes to share with us tonight?
Well, good evening. What a thrill this is to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And I just have to say that when we start focusing on the Holy Spirit, get ready. Because we never know what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. So just be prepared for anything tonight. I'm really excited that we are talking about this particular topic for many reasons. And I don't want to sugarcoat what we're talking about. We are talking about the gift of tongues. Now, a lot of people and a lot of churches have a lot of problems with this gift of tongues. In fact, if there's anything that will divide a church or a group of people, it's this topic. This one will definitely do that to them. And I'm sure that there are many of you in here who at some time in your past have heard that speaking of the tongues is of the devil, or speaking in tongues went away when the apostolic age went away. Well, those are stories that really are not true. And one thing that I love about this church, we're not afraid to talk about that stuff. And what Pastor Roger and I are doing is we're going to lay this out in the small amount of time that we have to make it as clear as we can and show you that this is of God, that we need to be talking and we need to be inviting the Holy Spirit and the gifting of tongues into our lives. Now, if there's so much confusion about this topic and it causes all these divisions, let me ask the question, who's the author of confusion? Satan, absolutely. Now, if there's so much confusion about the gifting of tongues, and Satan is the author of confusion, doesn't it stand to reason he doesn't want us to have this? You bet he don't. Because he knows that a born-again Christian with this kind of power is something he has no control over. That we have control over the demonic forces. And he don't want us to walk in that realm. But we got news for him. We're going to walk in that realm. We do walk in that room. Let's take a look at the next slide. When we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. What does this mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? A lot of confusion about that. Some people don't quite understand that. I've even had people say to me, what does that mean to be baptized in the Spirit? What does that mean to speak in tongues? Some people have never, ever heard someone speak in tongues. So we want to make sure that we can identify what we're talking about. Pastor Roger gave us three types of tongues, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of them. Now, on your notes, I'm only going to cover two pieces of Scripture. But I'm going to bring out a couple things that you're really going to want to take some notes on. So make sure you have a pen, pencil, so you can jot down the things that I'm going to share with you. I'd like to read this first set of Scripture. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he," meaning Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, now the disciples are believers, are they not? Okay, so he's talking to believers, and he's saying to them, go into Jerusalem, and I want you to wait until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we see that, first of all, they were believers, and now something second is going to come along. He's telling them, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they're there. They're waiting for something. The next slide, if you would bring that up. Let's talk about what is baptism. It means to be immersed or completely covered by. So if we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, it means that we are completely covered by the Holy Spirit. We are immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of us, and we're part of the Holy Spirit. So we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. Would you bring up that next slide, please? Now, I'd like you to jot down the reference to Acts 1:8. Because there's a couple things I really want to point out to you that I think you're going to enjoy. It says, but you shall receive power. Everybody say that word, power.
Power.
Power like you mean it. You shall receive power. All right. He's talking about power. Let's read on. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, on your notes, what I'd like you to do is write down that word power. Now, if you were here last week, you heard Ajay. He brought this scripture up, and so did Pastor Jeff. Blake. They both talked about this scripture. And we're going to talk about it again today, and what we're going to do is we're going to unpack this scripture a little bit more. I'll steal a phrase from Pastor Blake. He says that all the time. We're going to unpack this scripture. So I'm going to swipe that term from him, and we're going to unpack this a little bit. Now, the thing that I like to do is sometimes when I come across something, I like to look it up. I like to find out what things mean. And so I looked up that word power in the Greek. And lo and behold, what I uncovered was the Greek word used in this context is the word dunamis. And I'm going to spell it for you. It's D-U-N-I-M-I-S. D-U-N-I-M-I-S. Dunamis. And when you look at that word, what it really means, it means miraculous power. So write down miraculous power by dunamis. Now let's look at this scripture, and let's look what it's trying to say to us. It says, but you shall receive miraculous power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. To do what? To be witnesses in Jerusalem and all around the world. So when he told them to wait, he said they were going to be filled with this dunamis power, and what were they going to do with it? They were going to spread the word around the earth. That's what dunamis power is. Now, I could give you a lot of examples of dunamis power, but for the sake of time, I'll just share one example. We have it going on in this church regularly. We have people who walk in dunamis power on a regular, ongoing basis. Those who work in the healing room, those who work at the altars here, they are operating in dunamis power every single time they're ministering with people. You see, they're working in miraculous, wonder-working power. That's what this scripture is talking about. The same kind of power that's available to every single Christian. As Pastor Roger pointed out, this is inherent for every believer. You automatically have the Holy Spirit, and you automatically have dunamis power. The question is, do we use it? Do we know we have it? Are we afraid to use it? You know, there's all kinds of things that hold us back from utilizing this dunamis power. Now, I looked up a couple of things, and I wanted to know how long that they were sitting there in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, if we look at the next slide, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we have to unpack this a little bit. I looked up how long they sat in the upper room, and what I discovered is that they were there for 10 days. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait, and they waited there 10 days. And I began to think, why 10 days? Why not 5 days? Why not 7 days? Why did God have him sitting there for 10 days? Well, I looked up the number 10, and one of the meanings of the number 10 is total earthly power. So what God was doing for 10 days, he had him sitting there, he was getting them ready, and he was about to turn over to them spiritually total earthly power. Now, what were they doing during those 10 days? Well, the Bible tells us that what they were doing was they were praying, they were worshiping, they were fellowshipping. In fact, what they really were having was a 10-day prayer party. How many of us have been in a 10-day a night prayer meeting? Not too many. But that's what they were doing. So they're sitting there, they're praying, they're worshiping, and they're doing this for 10 days. Then all of a sudden, something really amazing happens. If you go back to the next slide for just a minute. I'm sorry, the one that says when the day of Pentecost had come. Okay. Here they were all in one place, sort of like they are, like we are today. And they hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, we have to kind of try to visualize what this was like. Sitting in a room like this, I want you to picture all of a sudden a mighty hurricane-type sound. That's what they heard coming into the room. That's the way the Holy Spirit made his entrance, with a rushing, powerful sound. The Bible says, as a mighty rushing wind. Then look what happens next. It says, and the whole house that they were filled in, all of a sudden in comes this flame that divides into tongues and it sits over everyone's head. Imagine that. Imagine being there and seeing that before your eyes. If I had a chance to go back in time and experience an event in the Bible, that would be high on my list. I would want to be there. I would want to see when that takes place. Now, I find it very interesting that God brought in the Holy Spirit not only with sound, but with fire in the form of a tongue. Now, why did he do that? See, nothing happens by chance with God. Nothing happens haphazardly. He had a reason for doing that. So he knew that there was going to be tongues of fire filled with power to go out and do the things that he's teaching the church to do. If you want to know the day that God launched the church, mark it down. It was the day of Pentecost. That's when God launched the church. And he did it with such flair. He did it with such a power. We don't see it anywhere else like this in Scripture. Think about how he launched the church. He did it with sound. He did it with something visual. Later on, we see he did it with an audible kind of a thing. He launched the church unlike any other gifting that we see in the New Testament. See, If God went to that much energy to launch his church, and he did it with fire and he did it with tongues, don't you think it's pretty important to him? If he would go through that much spectacle, that much, put that much flair into it, obviously this was high on God's list. What I wanted to do was show you a couple of things that you may or may not have seen in the scriptures before. Did you know that all the apostles spoke in tongues? Now, if you go to Acts 1 and jot this down, 12 through 14, Acts 1, 12 through 14, it gives an account of who all was in the upper room. And it lists all the apostles in there. Every single one of the apostles were listed. So we know, because the scripture tells us later, that it says they all spoke in tongues. They all went out and they all spoke in tongues, and people heard them in their own languages. So we know that not only did all the apostles speak in tongues, but we also know that all the writers of the New Testament spoke in tongues. Because we can go back and we can look in the book of Luke. Luke was not there in the upper room. And so we know that Luke says later that he spoke in tongues. And we know Paul wasn't there. And later on, he says he spoke in tongues. So we know that all the writers of the New Testament spoke in tongues. Let me stretch you just a little bit more, if you're still with me so far. Did you know that Jesus' mother, Mary, and Jesus' brothers also spoke in tongues? Now, how do I know that? In that scripture that I just gave you, it lists them. It says these are the ones who were in the upper room. It lists Mary and Jesus' brothers. So they all spoke in tongues. It says everyone in the upper room spoke in tongues. See, churches don't like to talk about stuff like that. See, this is a little uncomfortable for some people to hear this kind of stuff. But I want you to know that God had a plan when he launched the church. There was no doubt in his mind, how he was going to do it. He was going to do it with such eye-popping exaggeration that there was no doubt that his church was launched. And so, you know, those are the things that I wanted to show you out of those two scriptures. So I'm going to turn the time back over to Pastor Roger, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate that. Yeah. Monique and Jordan, why don't you come on back up here? You know, we're talking here, your tongues being, you're thinking, tongues, that's a big emphasis, Carl, big emphasis, Roger, tongues. What's the big deal about tongues? Tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. And the supernatural, it functions in many different areas. Carl talked about the way it functions in the supernatural through healings, miracles. We're going to take a look at that next week. But that's not the only place the supernatural functions. The supernatural should function in such a way that we become more like Christ. So you hear God's voice in a clearer way telling you to love your spouse in a certain way, or reach out to your child or your neighbor or your coworker, and it might involve praying, it might involve moving the supernatural, it might involve sweeping the floor. But tongues is something that helps you hear the voice of God better, because it brings you into a whole new dimension and prayer focus. So here's what I want to do tonight. I know we haven't answered every possible question about tongues. Email them in, text them in, and we'll cover it some more in a couple of weeks. Different aspects of tongues as a prayer language. We haven't been able to fully cover that. But here's what I hope you've received tonight. That there is a power available to you that will touch every part of your life. It'll bring you into greater intimacy with God. It'll cause the scriptures to come alive. It'll allow you to hear God in ways that are both supernatural and very practical. You have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. If not, do it tonight. Say, Jesus, I don't get this, but I want it. Forgive my sins, come into my life, and He'll do it tonight. And then you'll have the Holy Spirit too. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a greater empowering in the Holy Spirit. It's being enveloped in the Holy Spirit in a greater and a deeper way. The normal sign is speaking in tongues. And we don't have time to go into that, but on that PDF, you'll see a bunch of scriptures on this, that the normal, common, usual sign of speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues. Sometimes people receive the baptism first, a week or two later, all of a sudden they're speaking in tongues. There are exceptions. People who I would say, yeah, you definitely got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't speak in tongues, but they're moving in all sorts of other supernatural ways that manifest it. But the normal sign that you're going to find throughout the Scripture, the norm of the apostles, Jesus' mother, brothers, they all just spoke in tongues. That was the norm. It was just the norm. And it's meant to give you a wonderful prayer language and an open door to greater power for your life and to touch the lives of other people.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.